In the third chapter of 1 John, beginning with the 7th verse. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Good evening. As I said, we're continuing as we are walking through the Wednesdays and Sunday mornings talking about the devil and Satan and all those things that we tend not to spend a whole lot of time on. And so I want to start off this evening with just a simple question. And the question is, have you been deceived? Anyone? Why is no one raising their hand? Have you been deceived? I mean, you're on camera, so maybe that's why, right? Yeah, have you been deceived? And I asked that question. Yeah, good. Yeah, thank you. I wasn't looking at you, but... We have all been deceived in various ways and at various times, and here's the way deception works, is if it's a really good deception, you do question whether or not to raise your hand, right? Because it's kind of like the conversation the serpent had with Eve. Did God really say, you know, just insert just enough truth, add a little twist, and it feels like it's right, but it's actually wrong. And so all of us can find ourselves at any given point in place just a little bit deceived because we hear things that culture says and it sounds good, it sounds real, there's just enough truth in it that maybe it's reasonable, maybe it makes sense. And sometimes people will say things so authoritatively clear that you just believe them. They can just say anything boldly and clearly and confidently and you're like, well, yeah, that must be in the scripture. Because, I mean, I don't know if it is or not, but why not, right? And so here's a question for you. True or false? It's not about what you do, it's about what Jesus has done for you. Is that a truth? Is that untrue? I'm tricking you a little bit. Because the answer is yes. But here's how deception tends to work for a lot of us. We take something that's a little bit true, or is true, and we apply it in an inappropriate way. And what I mean by that is, let me share this quote from an author, his name is Comer. He says, "It seems that the Western Church has at times been more careful to avoid works righteousness than to avoid sin." And so, for sure, Jesus died for you. You have salvation 100% in and through Christ, but what you do also matters. And so here's the deception. We tend to, at least in our culture, avoid works righteousness, but maybe not avoid sin. And the way that looks is we say things like, well, God will forgive us. There's always grace. We make mistakes. It's not about what you do. But that's not how Scripture talks about it. And so there's a little deception. I mean, sometimes deception comes from culture for sure, but many times deception actually comes from ourselves because we all actually want to avoid the sting of guilt. So there's always a little self-justification, a little hedging our bets, protecting ourselves just a little bit because we don't like to feel like we're wrong. We don't enjoy experiencing the full weight of sin. And so we sidestep it. Well, I don't have to worry about it because Christ did it for me. Christ bore it all on the cross for me. And in very subtle ways, what we end up doing is we end up making our faith a little cheap, and we use Jesus to feel better about things that we know are wrong. And this is how 1 John talks about it. This is how Scripture talks about it. I mean, he starts right off in this passage we just read. He says, let no one deceive you. Even yourself. Don't be self-deceived, right? Any intelligent person can rationalize anything, and we're good at rationalizing our way out of things. And he says, let no one deceive you. This is very clear. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Another way of saying this, another thing, basically what John's trying to say, is if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So if you are righteous in Christ, but you're intentionally sinning, if you're practicing unrighteousness, then maybe something's not adding up. Like you never see a duck bark like a dog. It doesn't make sense. And so we have to practice our righteousness. This is what he says, whoever makes the practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And so what does it mean to be practicing sinning? What does it mean to be practicing righteousness? Well, it can look like a number of things. Like, how do we know as God's people if we're being deceived? Like, what's the authoritative source that we need to go to check ourselves against the world, against our own egos and our own self-deception? It's God's word, right? It's his living word. And so what's practicing righteousness? It's being in the word. If you don't practice righteousness, you can't see unrighteousness. You miss it. Subtle. And so we have to be intentional. Even Jesus says a good tree will bear good fruit. If it's not bearing good fruit, it's not a good tree. It doesn't make sense. And so you cut it down. And so we're called to practice righteousness. And that looks like a number of things. It looks like, you know, being in the Word. It looks like prayer. It looks like loving your neighbor. But that unrighteousness, that deception sneaks in, and we find ourselves practicing it even though we don't even realize it. It's subtle stuff. Like maybe it's the neighbor down the street that always parks in front of your house and it just irritates the heck out of you. And so then you start to notice every single thing your neighbor does wrong. And you start to feel anger towards them and you start to not love your neighbor. Like one person does you wrong and you hold on to it and then you find ways to affirm that you are justified in being angry at your brother or your sister. When Scripture calls you to forgive, show grace like you've been shown grace. So it's being mindful of what Christ has done for you and then being mindful in how you live in faith what Christ has done for you. And it's hard. Like, practicing righteousness and not unrighteousness is hard. We were naturally inclined to be unrighteous in many ways. But the reward is so much greater. This is why Jesus says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. It's not that it's like a walk in the park. It's just, in the grand scheme of things, doing what Jesus says doesn't mean there's not a cost. You have to give up some things maybe you want to do because we're unrighteous. But the reward is much lighter and full of fresh air. And so Scripture talks this way. You know, by this it says we are evident who the children of God are and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. But both do take practice. And so you can't just float. You have to be intentional. Not to save yourself, but to be faithful to the one who has saved you. And so you make choices. The way I always frame it is like, I wake up every morning and I have to choose to follow Jesus. I'm not naturally inclined to. I think about this, you know, I'll just say this about Sunday morning, for example. 7:45 a.m., worshipers. Not that they're better than all of you, but they're here at 7:45 in the morning. That takes intentional practice, like to have the discipline to get up and be here. Okay, y'all are here on a Wednesday night. Windy, cold, dark. That's intentionally practicing something. You don't just like fall into church on a Wednesday night. You have intentionality. You're practicing your faith. That's how it is with all the things Christ calls us to. We set to the work of doing our faith. But the devil tries to give us reason to believe that we don't have to. It says, no one is born of God who is born of God practices sinning. And so we fight against it. We war against it and the devil. And so how do we become born of God? Well, Jesus answered this question. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That is to say, Jesus sort of also said what John is echoing. John is echoing Jesus, that you have to be born again to even see the kingdom of God. That is, you cannot even see your unrighteousness. You cannot even understand the depth of your deception unless you actually have Christ. And so how do you have Christ? Well, it's through your baptism. It's through the means of grace. Unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the reason why he cannot enter the kingdom of God is because if Christ isn't in you, you do not understand the darkness. You don't even realize you've been deceived. So this isn't about works righteousness. The only one who can save you is Jesus. But once you have Jesus, you should see clearly how easy it is to practice sin. And so in the church, a lot of people misunderstand how this works. They think that sometimes we make it about works righteousness if we talk about the things we should do. Sometimes they think that we overly focus on sin. But the reality is having Christ is what makes you able to even see sin in the first place. And seeing your sin, understanding just how deceived you are, how self-deceptive you can be, when you fully comprehend and understand that, then you fully comprehend, understand, and appreciate how great the love Christ is for you. If you don't see your sin, his love looks like a whitewash. It looks like nothing. But when you see your sin, when you can see the kingdom of God and how far we are from it, then you fully understand why Christ died for you. You fully understand what it took to bring you to the place where you can see what Christ is calling you to and saying, I am going to practice righteousness in Christ. So we don't want to avoid it. We don't want to avoid talking about sin. We don't want to pretend it doesn't exist. We don't want to let ourselves off the hook. We don't want to act like nothing's wrong with the world. We want to call it out in ourselves, in the world, in the community, and we need to say, you know what? Good trees bear good fruit. So let's get to bearing good fruit. And it doesn't mean there's not a bad apple every now and then. But prune it off and move on. God's grace is with you. And the devil wants nothing more than for you to think that you can do whatever you want as long as you just think Christ did it for you. That's how you risk losing your faith. That's how you risk understanding what it cost for Christ to claim you as his. And so as we journey through the season of Lent, and we look continuously to Christ, and we look intently at our sin, to guard and protect ourselves against the evil one, so that we can appreciate the glory and the light and the mercy that we have in Jesus and live because of him. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.